Colossians, and we've been in the last part of it a bit. I'm actually going to use this to share with the kids this year in tutoring and at Against the Flow, where we're talking about what it means to be a Christian, how you live your life as a Christian. We've seen that there's a spiritual quality to it. There's a moral quality to it. There's a service. You know, we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, all of our strength, that whatever we do, wherever we are serving the Lord. We serve Him in whatever role God has given us. And there's just a couple of lines, and usually you know I don't do this. I don't dedicate a sermon to a couple of lines of text, but this is such an important part of being Christian. Being Christian and being a person of prayer. It is, you cannot separate these two things. To be a Christian, to be a person of prayer. So we're going to take some time and think about prayer. We're going to do what I would call, it's not a topical sermon, but a theological sermon, where you look at you know, what Scripture says about a subject. Because again, it just, I think it's important for us to spend some time hearing and thinking about prayer. But then I also, at the end, we want to do some prayer. We want to practice some prayer together. So I want you to, as we listen to the sermon, I want you to be thinking about things that you should be praying about. If God speaks to you while we're talking about this, I want you to just kind of make a note of it and keep it in your heart so that when we finish up with prayer, you're ready to pray about those things that God has you know, reminded you about. I was very thankful as I worked through this these texts and these things that we're going to talk about, that God reminded me of many, many, many different people and different places and things that I needed to pray for and pray about. And so we're going to look at, here we go, the idea of prayer. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's the verse 2 of chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The word prayer, it really means just to talk to God, to speak to God. And I think about this idea, you know, that sometimes prayer can be just conversation. I've walked down the street, you know, and as I'm walking down the street, I'm just saying, you know, talking to God. I'm asking God, bring somebody around my path that you want me to talk about or talk to and share with or to pray with. Sometimes, you know, prayer is like there's something that's on your heart, that's on your mind, and you ask God for something. You can ask Him for, you know, something temporal, right? Your daily bread, your work, your, you know, different relationships, whatever. But sometimes it's asking God and asking Him to you know, help you with a particular situation, right? So you're asking, you're talking. Sometimes you're seeking God. I just, Lord, I want to know You. I want to be with You. I want to understand what I've always, you know, what I used to understand. You know what I'm saying? To refresh that relationship that you have with God, so you seek God. Sometimes it can be, you know, a very quiet, you know, I don't even speak sometimes. Sometimes it can be at the top of your lungs, hopefully not around the house, but sometimes at the top of your lungs you might cry out to the Lord and just in great anguish and agony say, Almighty God, help me, you know. Prayer is got a lot of different aspects to it. One of the things that is very important to us is who we pray to. Who do we pray to? Jesus taught us, when He taught us how to pray, He said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. And so He tells us to pray right to God. Pray to God. Don't, you know, I'm going to pray to Cedric. He can't do much more than I can, you know. Right? You know? No, I'm going to pray to God. Jesus also said to His disciples, when you ask anything in My name. And so, you know, we often in our prayers say, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, hear my prayers, right? Who we pray to. You know, there's a lot of confusion about that in the world today. Muslims are not praying to our God. Hindus are not praying to our God. People that follow the 12 steps, they might pray to a paper cup for all, you know, I've heard. We're not confused about who we pray to. We are praying to our Father in heaven. We are praying to the Creator of all the universe. We're praying to someone who has power to intercede, has power to perform works on our behalf and help us. We're praying to, indeed, mighty God. 345 times prayer is mentioned in Scripture. There's a lot of prayers. It was interesting to me that I noted that prayer wasn't mentioned until chapter 20 of Genesis. In other words, it wasn't until there was a relationship between God and Abraham that people began to, you know, pray to the Lord. And then from there, it's 345 times it's mentioned in Scripture at different places, right? So being a person of prayer, we are supposed to devote ourselves to prayer. You know, the temple, when God initiated and had it constructed, and he, you know, Solomon, when he built the temple, it was dedicated as a house of prayer. Later, when Jesus came into the temple, he told the people there, he says, my temple or my house is supposed to be a place of prayer. God wants, you know, facilities like this to be used primarily as a place of prayer. What is it? A place where you focus on God, a place where you call upon God, a place where you make your needs known. I hope that when you come into this place and we worship and we pray, that you join in, that you are engaged with it, because otherwise, you know, I don't know what you're doing, right? If you're disengaged and you're not talking to God and you're not praying while you're here, you're really losing a great opportunity to get to know God. You know, it's very important for us to understand God creates these holy spaces for us to be able to gather together, to be able to pray, to give thanks. It's interesting also to remember that Jesus, when he lived among humans, he would sneak off and he would go and he would pray. If our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in flesh dwelling, as he lived in this sinful world, if he needed to go and get, you know, kind of engaged with God and disengaged from all the sin and trouble of the world, how much more do you and I need to find time of prayer and space to call on the living God? You know, there's so many different problems and things we'll talk about in a minute. And there's so much stress and trouble in the world around us. You know, I mean, I guarantee you that too many of us are too engaged with CNN and Fox and the things on the news, the things on the internet. And we're really engaged in the mess of the world. And we're not as engaged with God. And guess which one is going to rule your heart? Guess which one is going to rule your life if you're engaged with it, right? That's what's going to rule your heart. And so even Jesus had to go off and get away, you know? The church was initiated by God. It was brought together by God. And it's interesting that the guys, when God brought the Holy Spirit among the 120 first disciples, you know, that they were in a house and they were praying and worshiping. And then they stepped out. But 30 times in the book of Acts, plus, I think it was like 33 times, in the book of Acts, prayer is going up. The church was supposed to be, a praying institution. We're supposed to be a people that pray and seek God and call on the name of the living God. Be a person who is devoted to prayer. Is it something you wake up with in the morning? Is it something that, you know, when you lay down at night, is it something you carry yourself through? To have that as a focus in your life. To have it be something that you pay attention to, that you think about, I need to pray. Not because God needs your prayers, but you need God. Not because God needs to hear from you, but you need to hear from the Lord, right? Yeah, to be engaged in prayer. So Paul tells us, he says, listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's not a circumstance in your life that is not an occasion for prayer. You think about it. Think about the people that you know. Think about those who are around you. How are they doing? I don't mean how are they doing? Do they have enough food? Do they have enough clothing? That would be nice to know. That would be a nice cause for prayer. But how are they doing with their walk with God? Is the enemy sneaking in behind them and tempting them and testing them and trying them? Is anybody lifting up that person's name in prayer? Is anybody lifting up that person to Almighty God? Are they just going their way separate from God? Going towards, you know, the enemy camp, going towards the world. And they're going to be lost because we forgot. We didn't think about them. We didn't see it coming. Be watchful, he says. And actually, these words, watchful and thankful, are connected to prayer more than the NIV does. The RSV translates, says, you know, be watchful in it. Okay, be watchful in your prayers. Thinking about the world around us, the troubles that people might be going through, right? I think about folks that aren't here and I lift them up. When we worship and what have you, I see you and I'm praying for you and I'm praying for those that aren't here at the moment. I'm praying that God will intercede into their lives, help them to be strong, help them to know His grace and His power. Help them to know there is a living God. Help them to know how much they need God. So we ask every circumstance, every thing in the world, you know, the troubles that come around us, the things we hear about. And I'm not talking about, oh, pray for, you know, Afghanistan or pray. I'm talking about the things that touch our world, that touch our lives, you know, neighbors, right? Neighbors that are out of control, right? Yeah, no, lift them up in prayer. Because there's a God who hears. There's a God who answers. There's a God who can save them out of the mess that they're in, right? There is. There's a God who hears and answers. People that are suffering because of sickness and facing their own mortality. People that are weak, you know, physically weak, physically unable to engage with God. So engage for them. Pray for them. Bow to the Lord of heaven on their behalf and call on His name. You know, the idea of praying for each other. You know, Jesus told His guys, He says, listen, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Pray that you don't get yourself in trouble. Pray for those around them, you know. Pray that you'll be able to escape the troubles that are coming to this world. You know, there's a lot of chaos going on spiritually, I'm talking about. There's a lot of foolishness out there. There's a lot of people that are being taken down the wrong roads by the wrong things. And pray that that doesn't happen to us. Pray that we are able to keep our hearts and minds right with God. Pray that we're able to, you know the truth from the lie. Pray that we're able to understand who God is. It's a very sad thing for people to go to church and to, you know, do all the service stuff, but not know God. And it happens. And then their lives are often destroyed or shipwrecked based upon that lack of really knowing who is God. Paul says he wants people to pray, you know, everywhere. He wants us to pray about sharing our faith. Then he adds this, and this is something personally I've asked you guys before. If you're going to pray for me, pray this. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now, when I'm asking you to pray for us, I'm not saying pray that Pastor Brown ends up in chains, right? But I'm saying that the message of Jesus Christ, you know, there is something very powerful and spiritual about the message of Christ. It's not just words. There's a power and a spirit that goes with it. You know, that Paul talked about, like, for example, in Corinth, he said, when I prayed or preached to you, it wasn't simply in words, but it was in demonstration of power in the Holy Spirit. There is a power and a presence that needs to be there for the gospel to reach hearts, for the gospel to change lives. And so Paul was telling the church, please pray that as we preach, as we go out to give the message, that Jesus Christ would make it alive, that He'd make it real, that there would be some receptive soil to take that seed in so that we can see God's work being done. Pray that we can proclaim it rightly. Pray that we can proclaim it with courage. Pray that we can proclaim it boldly, clearly, as we should, right? So it's, you know, one of the things I really would ask you guys and girls for is that you would lift up, you know, if you're going to think about me, you know, right, and you're in your prayer, because I think about you. I try to remember everybody. I try to, you know, I'm closing my eyes, I'm praying, and I try to remember, you know, and I sometimes have to do it, you know, row by row and seat by seat, and it's okay, that's where somebody, yeah. And I lift up your name, and I call on the Lord for you, and I'm asking God's grace to be with you, and I'm asking God to give you strength and courage to walk with Him, and just to be encouraged to go another day. When you lift up my name, when you call on the Lord for me, please pray that God will give us clarity. Pray that God will give us the ability to preach the good news as it should be preached. Pray that God will send people to hear the message. It is so important for us to be a people of prayer. It is so important for us to be a people who call on the name of the Lord. It's those who call on the name of the Lord that will be saved, right? And we've tried to show you very briefly that the church is a praying place, a place of prayer. And I couldn't see doing a message like this without saying, now, let's pray. So that if I can get, we're going to do kind of like what we do on Wednesday night. We're going to sing a few songs and we're going to pray after each one. And I encourage you to join in as the Spirit of God opens your heart and mind to pray for somebody. And, you know, again, I hope that as we've gone through this, that, you know, God has reminded you of some things. Some of it you might not want to say out loud. Some of it definitely you can shout to the rooftop.